What a powerful song. Listen, if you sat through this worship service and thought, well, I don't know, I didn't worship too. Listen, you're missing something, friends. The songs, the message, the words that we've been able to share today, as we lift those and think about them, when we were singing, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go," the Lord and I were having a discussion on the front row. I don't know if you've ever done that in the middle of a song. You may not be like me. It happens to me a lot in music, and it's as if, as we started singing that chorus, "Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I go." It's as if God said, "Will you really do that? Will you really do that?" It's as if He said, "Chris, you've gotten pretty comfortable in life." I said, "Lord, I don't know what you mean." And it's as if He said to me, "Well, you bought a house in May. Got it just like you like it. You like your lard, you like your yard, you like your trees." I like my lard too. Sorry, I like the, like I said, you like all these things. He said, "So will you really go where I tell you to go?" I thought, what are you about to tell me to do, Lord? He said, "Yes, none of any of that is yours. This was all happening right here on the front row a minute ago." And so God, He just spoke to me in the, I don't know how to describe it to you. And people say, I don't know if that's theologically correct to say that He spoke to you. I'm just telling you, it's as if the Lord said to me, but there's neighborhoods in your city you've not been in and you've not led your people to. And there's neighborhoods right here in communities and mobile home parks right here in Albertville and in Marshall County that desperately need a gospel influence, and you're not going there. And so for me, it was a confession time to the Lord to say, "Wherever you lead, I'll go. In our city, in our state, around the world, wherever you lead, I'll go. I will follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go." I hope the same struggle happened for you, because if you can sing those words easily, I'm afraid you're not thinking about them. Listen, we've said this before, but it's true. Did you realize you can sing a lie as easy as you tell one? So when you let words roll off your tongue like, "Wherever you lead, I go. Wherever you lead, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever you lead, I'll go. Take up my cross and follow me, I heard my master say." Listen, that's serious. And so today I want to make a renewed commitment, and I pray you will as well, that wherever He leads, we will go as a church. Wherever He leads us, we will go. That we will go with our giving, we will go with our lives, we will go with our praying, we will go with our time, with our schedule. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank You for speaking to me today as we worship You. I thank You for gently prodding me, reminding me that comfort is not a spiritual gift. Reminding me that comfort's not a calling, and I'm pretty comfortable. Lord, I love this church. I love these people. I love this faith family. I love that we're willing to go, but can we truthfully answer as a group and as individuals, "Wherever He leads, I'll go"? Because there are people and neighborhoods in our community that need the gospel and need what this faith family here at First Baptist Church have to offer them by the way of the gospel. There are people in other parts of our state and around the world that need the gospel and need what this faith family has to offer them by way of the gospel. Lord, have control of us. Wherever You lead, may we be willing to go. Lord, I pray that that could not only be my prayer today, but the prayer of every person in this room. And Father, I pray that as we will get ready to sing that song again at the conclusion of the service, that we can all contemplate the words together. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Today, as we continue on in our series through Romans chapter 8, I want to invite you to turn there, and we're going to begin in verse 14 in just a moment. But I want to start with an illustration. One of my favorite Christmas movies of all time is the movie Elf. And I don't know if you've seen the movie Elf. Now, I like the classics. It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street. I mean, I like all those. But as far as modern day movies, I love Elf. And that story in the narrative of that story, there's a toddler who is in an orphanage and he sneaks into Santa's bag on Christmas Eve and ends up at the North Pole being raised by elves. In other words, it's a true story. And so he does not know that he is adopted, and so he's growing so much taller than everyone else. He does not have the toy making skills that the elves have. He does not have the ability to do things that they do. He doesn't have their DNA, and so he just can't fit in, but he doesn't know why. He's so bad at making toys that they decide in a little scheme to make him feel better and not to let him know he's adopted, they give him the job of testing little jack-in-the-box toys. Who remembers these from childhood? Let's be honest, who was afraid of these as a child? Don, I knew you were going to raise your hand. Now, Don, I need you to come do this. Don, it's for Jesus. Come on, you can do this. Now listen, you guys might not know this. He didn't know I was going to do this. Step on up here. Don has a phobia. Can I tell this? Is it okay? I got the microphone. I'm going to tell it. So Don, it's okay. Don has this phobia. Like I know because I've seen a video of it that he is deathly afraid of opening cans of biscuits. That popping sound. So my suggestion for Christmas is everybody get Don a can of biscuits. But that's a So I made an assumption that this would be just like a can of biscuits to you. So I'm going to need you to wind this up and open it really slowly, okay? I don't want you to think happy child thoughts. I want you to think horror movie. Right now, I want you to open it really slowly. Go ahead. No, turn it the other way. That's the front. That's how it's going to open. Okay, go ahead. It's the other way.
It's not funny.
Do you see how soft this one was? It didn't even make a loud noise. You can go sit down. Thank you very much. You can take the rest of the day off. I mean, you're good, okay? So now, I don't know what y'all are clapping for because he did not do anything special, okay? But anyway, so in this idea was that, sorry, I can't get mine to work right here. So as we do these, it was the whole thought in the movie of he was just winding these up to make sure they worked correctly. And Buddy responded about like Don did in that case. And so I share that with you to say this. That was a fun movie. There are funny things about that movie. And it really is a sweet story in the end and what happens. But while Elf is humorous, in the end, it gives a very skewed view of adoption that in no way resembles what this scripture passage is about to tell us that God has done for us. You see, if you know Jesus, you too have been adopted. But unlike Buddy the Elf, you didn't crawl into God's bag. You've not been relegated to mindless, powerless, jack-in-the-box testing. No, when God adopted you, he chose you. And when he chose you, then he bestowed upon you all of the qualities and the character of God at work in your life. You see, he is at work in you and me. It's not that we're so much unlike him that he gives us simple little tasks just to get through life. That's not what life is about. No, instead, what has happened is God has said, I will put the Holy Spirit inside of you. I will give you the opportunity to do even greater things than Jesus did when he walked on earth. That's what the scripture says. So there's so much more to it than just we're adopted and we don't really fit with God, but he loves us anyway. No, it's a different adoption story than that. And I want to show it to you in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 14. Look at this. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God or daughters of God, it would be fine to say. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, providing that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. It tells us right here that we have been adopted as sons and daughters of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I mean, it is. But it doesn't even stop there. Listen to this. Just listen to these verses. Romans 8:23 says, And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So we've been adopted now into God's family, but there is an ultimate adoption at the return of Christ as well. It's both happening in our lives. Ephesians 1:5 says that God predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. So if you think back to week one of our Romans study here in Romans 8, Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, if you are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. And it declares if you are in Christ Jesus, you've been adopted by God. So what does that mean for you and for me? What is the real implication of being an adopted child of God? I'm going to give you three things if you're taking notes and you can write them down quickly. Number one, you can have intimacy with the creator of all things. That's important. You can have intimacy with the creator of all things. Look again at verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Now that word Abba, it's not a translation from Greek. It's a transliteration. It sounds the same as the Greek word. So it's a transliteration of the Greek word for papa is the idea. It's a term of endearment. It would be like you curling up in the lap of your father and calling him papa in a very endearing way. Now it says that we have not been given the spirit of slavery. That's not talking about slavery in sin. It's talking about slavery in religion. If you read the context of the passage, what he's saying is we are not slaves to God. We are children of God. We don't have the spirit of slavery. You're not just equal to a servant or a slave, though we do serve God. But we are God's child in intimate relationship with him. Now think about that. That should affect the way we approach God. That should affect the way we talk to God. That should affect the way we make requests of him. Friends, you are not God's employee. You are not God's servant. You are his son or you are his daughter, and you can call him Papa in an intimate, personal way. Now, some might say, Chris, that's disrespectful. We need to be more formal in how we approach God. Listen, I fully agree that God is holy and righteous, and there are people that with their lives and their words disrespect God. I totally agree with that. But I want you to understand that if we look at formalities, my official formal title when it comes to signing wedding certificates, when it comes to legal documents, is Reverend Chris Johnson. But here's the deal. I don't want my children calling me Reverend Johnson. I want them to call me Dad. I want my kids to come up and hug my neck. I want them to be able to sit on the bed beside me and sit and talk to me. I want them to be able to make ridiculous requests of me that they would never ask a stranger. Your kids ever do that for you? My middle child just this week on the way to school one day said, listen, is there any way we could stop and let me get one of those $5 Starbucks Frappuccinos because I was up late and I need some caffeine? Now listen, if I had asked my dad that when I was a kid, you don't want to know what the answer would be. But you know what I did? I pulled in and we got a $5 Frappuccino. You may say, your son's spoiled. He knows it already. But the truth of the matter is, he knows I love him. And his request was a ridiculous request that I was willing to meet when he wouldn't have asked a stranger ever to do such a thing for him. But because he loved me, he knew me, and he knew that I would who I am, he asked me. Listen, that's what I'm saying. You're saying, Chris, are you telling me we should make ridiculous requests of God? I'm saying you need not be afraid to communicate with him on a real level. I want children who were willing, my three sons, to cry in front of me. Children that are willing to laugh with me and laugh at me. Children who are ready to serve me and be served by me. You see, that's the picture, that Abba Father picture. It's personal. And so you can take to the bank today that if you know Jesus, God is your Papa. Now, don't be disrespectful, but please, by all means, be intimate with the creator of the universe. And the second thing that we see in this passage is not only can have we have intimacy with the creator, you are God's heir. Don't miss that. You are God's heir. Look at Romans 8:16. Then the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified. This is not just talking about heaven after you die, though that's part of it. We are an heir of God, and we are joint heirs with Jesus right now. So, my question is, what did Jesus have on earth that you now want on earth? Was it popularity? Listen, for Jesus, that came and went. It did not stay. That's not the answer. Was it possessions? Listen, there are those that would teach that Jesus died and came back to life to give you lots of possessions, but I don't know what Bible they're reading. You look at the life of Jesus in the gospel, his life was not, no one would say if there's anything Jesus was about, it was possessions. It's the opposite of that. Was it prestige? No. So what do we see in the life of Jesus when we are joint heirs with Jesus? We receive the same things he received. What did he have on this earth? Here's a few things really quickly. Purpose. Jesus had a purpose. He knew his purpose. He fulfilled his purpose. God has put the same purpose in you to glorify God that others might come to know him, to worship him. Power. Jesus had the power of God in his life. He was fully God and fully man. But we as believers, by the sealed Holy Spirit in us, have the same power of God in us. Now, we're not God. I'm not saying that at all. But the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us, the scripture says. That's huge. So we too can walk in the power of God. Jesus had peace. I didn't say everything was good, but Jesus had peace. Peace. That's the power and the presence of God at work in his life. Friends, we too can have peace. If you're an heir of God, an adopted son or daughter of God, that means you can have power. You can have peace. You can have purpose. But then lastly, according to this passage and according to the Gospels altogether, Jesus went through pain. And we too, part of being an heir of God is that you will experience times of suffering. There's no escaping suffering if you are going to be transformed to the glory of God. It is part of the process. So you and I, we are heirs of God. Now, I love any story of adoption. If you are new here, you might not realize I have three adopted sons myself. They all knew I was going to talk about this today, so they're okay with it. I'm not talking about them. In front of them, they're here, and I'm not trying to embarrass them, so they know. They gave me permission. I have three adopted sons myself, and I promise you this, if you want to be fast friends with me, tell me you've got adopted children, and I'm your new best friend. I'll be fast friends with anyone who's an adoptive parent or child. There's no stopping it. I want to celebrate adoption every single chance I get. And what I would say to you, according to this scripture today that says we have been adopted as God's children, you and I need to learn to celebrate adoption every chance we get. Celebrate the adoption of God in our lives. So how do we do that? A few things really quickly. Number one, quit living like a slave. You want to celebrate adoption? Quit living like a slave. We are not a slave to fear, as the scripture tells us. We are a son and daughter of God. I love that song. It's a worship song that's been out now for about a year and a half. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I love that song because it's truth and it comes straight from scripture. We're not a slave. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie The Blind Side. It came out a number of years ago. It's based on a true story about Michael Orr, a former NFL football player. He's retired now, doesn't play anymore, but a former NFL football player, and how he grew up on the streets of Memphis, homeless, and how through a series of circumstances, and this is, I'm not talking about the movie, I want to talk about a true part of his life, the Tuohy family took him into their home and then adopted him as their child. And it wasn't like you adopted them or I adopted them. A very wealthy family adopted this homely man. The Tuohys happen to own, currently, I looked it up, right now they own 89 fast food franchises in the greater Memphis, in that Tennessee and Mississippi area, 89. If y'all don't know what that means, it means that's a lot of fast food and a lot of money. So they had all these resources. And it's not in the movie, but there's, but in the reality, what happened in his life, he tells a story about a time where his adoptive mother came into his room and found him hoarding food, stashing food away in his room that was just rotting. She said, "Why would you do that?" And it's because of the fear of what his life had once been like when food was hard to find and hard to come between. And they said to him, "You can literally drive anywhere in this city you want and walk into a restaurant and they'll give you anything you want because they know who you are and they know who your parents are. It's all yours all the time. You can have fast food anytime you want it. You don't have to store up. You don't have to be afraid of that anymore." Listen, can I share with you that a lot of us, our walk with Christ is much like that? We are no longer slaves to fear. We are son and daughter of the King, but it seems like we let fear get the best of us and we begin to hoard up and store up and hold back things that God would have us to give away, and we miss an opportunity to understand the great blessings and benefits of what it means to be a child of God. And I want to tell you something. Some of the stuff you're hoarding and storing back out of fear, it's going to rot anyway. You might as well give it away. So how do we celebrate adoption? Here's some things. Give your love away. Give away grace to others. Give away kindness. Give away compassion. Give away forgiveness. That's how you celebrate adoption. Don't live like a slave. Another way to celebrate the adoption of God in your life today is to give God glory. Listen, that seems simple enough, and you're saying, "Pastor Chris, that's oversimplified." Think about it with me. You need to be purposeful in giving God glory. Now, Moses, our youngest son, many of you know, he was born in Ghana, West Africa, and he was born in a place where to be in a situation where you don't have parents, it's a pretty desperate situation. Here, as crowded and as difficult as our foster system is in the United States, there's still great many benefits to someone born in this country who does not have parents versus someone born in a place like Ghana without parents. And so Moses, the children's home that he was in, that our church has had a connection to over the years, they gave him a wonderful name, Prince Moses. He knows I'm going to tell this part too. And so when we adopted Moses, which was a highlight and joy, it was just a blessing. He's an amazing child. And to bring Moses into our home and to have him here, we decided that we would do something very specific with his name. Two things. Number one, we dropped Prince because we knew that would be difficult in the U.S. Now, he would prefer he would be called King Moses, but not Prince. But we dropped Prince, and so now he's really the child formerly known as Prince. So if that means anything to any of you, but then we added something to his name. We took his name, which was Moses. There, that was the name they gave him. We kept it. It's beautiful. We love the name, and we took the name Moses, and we added. We wanted to on purpose add a middle name that came from the language of the tribe of which he was born into, and that's the Awe tribe. And the word for God in Awe is Mau. So you say Mau Lo Wu means God loves you. Listen, everybody say Mau Lo Wu. Now you know, if an Awe tribesman comes in here, you know how to tell them God loves them. It's all good. So it's not going to happen, but it might. So we decided we would take that name and we began to ask what is adjectives and what are phrases to put with that. And so we settled on Mawanyega. So Moses has a long middle name. Difficult to write, and as a young child in school, it can be hard when you start trying to go through and put that down on paper. But our purpose was specific. Mawanyega means God is great. And we wanted every time somebody asked, "What in the world does Mawanyega mean?" for someone to be able to testify and say, "God is great." We wanted every time he had to write that name on a piece of paper and explain to somebody what it meant, for someone to be able to know, "God is great." We wanted his life to represent that God is great, because what God did for us by bringing him into our home, Lily and I would both say, "God is great." Now, do me a favor. Don't call him Mawanyega. Call him Moses. But that is his name. And we did it on purpose because we wanted to celebrate and give God glory with something as purposeful as a name. So can I encourage you on purpose to give God glory in your life? Find a way on purpose to do that. And so not only do we celebrate adoption by quit living like a slave, not only do we celebrate adoption by giving God glory, the third and final way, and we'll close, is this. Today is Orphan Sunday in the United States. You may not know that. But today is set aside every year, this time in November, is set aside for churches and other organizations to stop and reflect on the plight of orphans around the world. So that's the reason that we got out of order with the Romans 8 passage. I wanted it to coincide with today. And so today being Orphan Sunday, let me tell you a couple things really quickly as we close. There are 153 million orphans around the world. 153 million. There are between 300,000 and 400,000. The number's hard to get a solid number. Somewhere between 300,000 and 400,000 children in foster care in the United States alone. There are over 6,000 children in foster care in Alabama. And there are right at around 150 children in foster care in Marshall County. Now, my question is this. If you want to celebrate adoption, you've got to ask yourself this question. What can you do about that? What can I do about that? Here's some things. You can adopt a child. Some of you say, there's no way I can do that, Chris. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too poor, I'm too this, I've got too many kids, don't have enough rooms. Listen, you can adopt a child. Not everybody in here could do it, but some of you could. Bring a child into your home that does not have a family. Maybe for some, you could foster a child. You could serve as foster parents. We have wonderful people in our church who are doing that, serving in a very real way, making a difference in people's lives. And I'm thankful for the ones that helped do that for one of our children as well at a time when it was needed when they were little. I'm thankful for what I see in others' lives as well. You can do that. Maybe you want to do what Lily and I have made a commitment to do. In February, we're going to begin taking the foster care classes because we want to, we don't feel at this time we're called to foster. We feel like we're supposed to help offer respite care. Just to be able to help through the foster system if there's someone that needs between 1 and 7 days of care, because they've got to go out of town, something happens, and they've got a foster child that needs to be cared for. We'll be specific in how we do it, but our commitments, we're going to go through the respite care system to do that. Maybe God would lead you to do that as well. Maybe for you, it's to support an orphan. One of our partners, our newest partners, are Melissa and Ivan Makulu at Sunrise Children's Home in Uganda. They were here in January at the Missions Conference. A number of you got to meet them. Listen, you can sponsor a child. They are caring for so many children that do not have parents. And it's not very expensive, around $30 a month to help care for that child. And I promise you, they're not living lavishly, and those adults aren't taking that money. I mean, it's a legitimate ministry. Maybe you want to be a part of that and help sponsor a child. That's the way you can celebrate your adoption in Christ, is to do that. Maybe for you, it's to just encourage a foster family. I found this written down about Orphan Sunday. I like it. It says, if you can't foster a child yourself, you can still offer help and support to foster families. Provide babysitting. Provide a meal. Just find a foster family and say, just out of the goodness of my heart, I want to provide a meal for your family to let you know that because God's adopted me, I'm thankful for what you're doing. Cover the sports fees for a child to play. Sports. Children that want to do something or be involved in some extracurricular activity, it's expensive. Drive a child to piano lessons or dance lessons, mentor them, on and on. Just find a way. So here's what I would ask you to do. If you want to celebrate your adoption, commit to do something, then pray about it, and then do it. Now, did you notice I didn't say pray first? Because a lot of people say, well, I'll pray about it, and that means I'm not going to do it. So I'm going to tell you, commit to do it first, and then pray about what specifically it is you're supposed to do. Why do I feel confident enough to tell you that? Because the Bible's pretty clear about how God feels about orphans. James 1:27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. We also see places where God talks about adopting the Israelites into his home. We see other places where it talks about us being adopted. So you don't have to stop and think, would it be good for me to celebrate my adoption by helping someone else? God's already told you to do that. The question is, what is it he's calling you to do? My prayer is that we as a faith family would continue to celebrate God's gracious gift of salvation for us by how we can help those in the foster care system. You realize with 300,000 to 400,000 people in foster care in the U.S., the global church of the U.S., I'm talking about born-again believers, there's millions of believers in our country. We could wipe out that and help take care. Listen, we've got social workers in our church and others that we know, they struggle on a regular basis to find someone to take a child over and over and over and over and over and over again. If the church simply stepped up, we could fix that problem in however many weeks it takes to take the classes. Just that fast. I don't mean just this church, I mean the church. But before we can ask the church to do something, let's ask this church to do something. And before we ask this church to do something, let's ask me to do something. Let's ask you to do something. So would you consider some way you can be a blessing to a foster family? Some way you can support a child that's orphaned around the world and might need a little support. Some way that you can help make a difference. And there's all kinds of creative ways you can do it. And your prayer support means the most of all. Of all those things, will you join me in committing to do that? But if you're here and you have been living as a slave to fear, trying to do certain things and religious things this way or that way, the start for you today on this special day is to start as an adopted son or daughter of God to claim your part in the family of God, that you are joint heirs with Jesus, that we can have the power of God, the purpose of God, the peace of God. And yes, we will experience the pain, all those things together to give us glory and make us more like God himself. That's my prayer for you and for me. Would you bow your heads? Heads bowed for just a moment, a little time of privacy. First of all, if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, you need to understand something. People sing it in songs. People say it nonchalantly. Oh, everyone's a child of God. Hear me say this. Everyone is not a child of God. That is not in the scripture. You need to understand that we are not children of God until we have been adopted into his family. And so if you're here and you've never given your life to him, he offers you new life and grace and mercy today. And you must be adopted into his family. He must do the work, but you're in luck because he chooses you. He calls out to you. He allows you to respond and receive his salvation. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you to pray. Say, God, I give you my life. I want to walk with you. I want you to transform me and make me more like you. Forgive me of the ways I've failed you. I need you to be priority in my life. Listen, he will gladly move and bring salvation to you. Justin and I will be right down front. We'd love to pray with you as we sing this song in just a moment. For others, if you have Jesus in your life, have you been hoarding up food like Michael Orr did, missing out on the opportunity to be a part of what God's called you to do? Listen, get out there and show your love to others. Show kindness to others. Use your resources for the kingdom. Don't walk in fear. Walk in freedom because of the power of God at work in you. Maybe for others, it's that you're feeling called to some part of foster care. Maybe you're feeling called to some neighborhood in the community like I talked about. Maybe you're feeling called to help us make a difference in some dark places in our city, in our county, and around the world. Maybe you just want to come and kneel and pray about that. You want to pray with us. Maybe for you, God's calling you to unite with our faith family. Whatever God is saying, we're asking you to simply say yes to what he is telling you today. Father God, please have your way among us now. I pray that as we sing this song, that the words that cross our lips will have first come from our heart, and that we can truly mean, wherever you lead, I'll go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and let's sing this. Wherever you lead, I'll go.